Welcome to Politics and Prose, the podcast focused on people and politics. Gail Dudley, the audacious advocate, is an author and activist committed to evoking an awakening that compels people and communities to move beyond the status quo. Gail has created a platform to introduce fresh voices through interviewing guests who are relevant to everyday life. Politics and Prose will also share aggregated political data and present it in a way that takes communities from being informed to taking action. New episodes air on Fridays. Make sure to follow Gail on Instagram, Twitter, and post.news at Gail Dudley. And subscribe to her YouTube, www.youtube.com/Gail Dudley. Tune in to be informed. And make sure to subscribe to Politics and Prose wherever you listen to podcasts so that you don't miss an episode. Now let's get into it.
Welcome, everyone. I am your host, Gail Dudley, the audacious advocate, author, and activist committed to introducing to you fresh voices through interviewing guests who are relevant to everyday life. Today, I have a powerhouse in the room, so y'all want to get ready. Get your pen, pencil, get your memo on your smartphone or on your Samsung or your laptop or tablet and get ready to take some amazing notes. And then I want you to all go out and purchase her book immediately once you hear this podcast. Her name is Cassandra Cummings. She is the founder of Stocks and Stilettos Society, America's largest community of African-American women investors. With her collaborative nature and the development of an innovative curriculum, Cassandra has created a culture where 100,000 plus women have invested more than $50 million in the stock market. Y'all, somebody need to shout about that. Her experience as a financial advisor, investment advisor, representative, digital finance influencer, as well as a former middle school math teacher, catapulted her to the top of the investment influencer world. As she sought to investing for demographic, often overlooked by Wall Street. For nearly 20 years, Cassandra's work as a consummate financial professional has educated and empowered women to plan, save, and invest towards meeting their financial objectives. In 2016, Cassandra created in the online community, the Stocks and Stilettos Society, where she provides an introduction to stock market investing through her free signature course, Slay with Stocks Investment Challenge. I don't know about y'all. When I was reading this early on, I was like all in. It's like, where do I sign up? Anyway, Cassandra educates women on investing through her investment mastermind, the Queens of Capital, her monthly membership group, the Stock Success Circle, and her options trading program, Build a Bag. Her annual Stock Sister Summit, held in Las Vegas, provides exposure to various aspects of investing, including real estate, angel investing, and cryptocurrency. Y'all, this woman, I told y'all she's a powerhouse. Cassandra Cummings earned her Bachelor's of Science degree in accounting from the University of Southern California and holds a certificate and women's entrepreneurship from Cornell University. It is through her education, experience, and expansive work which she credits her leadership skills, business acumen, and stock success. Welcome, Cassandra. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much. What an extensive bio.
Girl, it's the bomb. I love it. I'm like, go on, girl. Bring it all to us. Bring it all to us. Yes, all right. So yes. I've been reading up on you, checking you out. So glad that you are here on Politics and Prose with us today. And I want to jump right in, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
So I want you to speak, if you don't mind, please speak to your mission. I saw this in one of your write-ups or on the website or somewhere. Please speak to your mission of making sure women of color are being present and not shut out of the wealth building game. Please speak to that mission and how can we get on board with you?
Yeah, the mission, came about as a little girl, actually. I grew up with humble beginnings. My mom was a single parent and she had me at 16. So money came really hard to us. And I just remember getting older and saying, you know, I do not want to live a life in lack. You know, I do not want to live in poverty. And so when I went to college, you know, I always wanted to focus on how did money work? How does money work? What do we need to do to not only get money, but to be financially secure around money? And as I started to move around, I started to see that there was this huge disparity between Black women and white women. And so I said, if it's up to me, it's up to me, right? And so I started to really work with Black women in nonprofit agencies, in you know, private sector and things of that nature, really helping them figure out their finances, and not just figure out their finances, but also learn to invest. So the mission has been there from very early age, and now it has truly become something that I've become so proud of, with so many women jumping on board, because we just really need to be secure with our finances.
I agree with you. And I'm one of those late bloomers. Let me just confess right now. I'm one of the late bloomers because I was always afraid of it. I was like, okay, what do I do with this? Who do I contact? How do we go? All of those things. So Cassandra, can you please define for our listening audience? Because some of us don't want to let people know that we don't know. So can you please define, like, for example, what exactly is a financial advisor, short form? What is an investment advisor representative? And then also I see on here the digital finance influencer. What is all of that? And how do we know which one we need to reach out to? Can you help us feel a little bit more confident in ourselves to make the contact, the connection?
So a financial advisor is someone who is really going to pick apart your finances and then put a plan in place together for you. So they're going to really kind of figure out what are the holes, what are the gaps you are facing in getting to your financial destination. So they really help put the A's together to help you get to your Z's, if that makes sense.
Okay.
And then an investment advisor representative has an even extra layer of fiduciary responsibility. And a fiduciary is someone who actually operates in your best interest. That doesn't speak to the fact that that investment advisor rep or financial advisor doesn't get paid, because we get paid very well, but they are able to basically provide recommendations and financial solutions that put you at the forefront and not put money in their pocket per se. And then a digital influencer, this is something relatively new for me. I really just came out here to do what God called me to do. And now they tell me I'm a financial influencer and that, you know, I should be out here definitely getting the word out on social media. So, you know, I just say, okay, I'll just take it for what it's worth.
As long as it's not a bad thing. That sounds good. I can do that. Well, based upon your press kit, I'm sure there's a few other line items there for you. I'm like, you're doing it. Even your summit, like, is your summit coming up soon or did we miss it?
So my Stocks to Star Summit, we just celebrated our 5th anniversary in Vegas at the Aria Hotel. We had an amazing time. This is an amazing investment event unlike any other. We had almost 500 women talking about investing, just different aspects of investing. We had Angela Yee headline, because you know she's really big on business and entrepreneurship when it comes to women and investing. So she was just a perfect keynote to come out and have an investment chat at the summit. We have our next one coming up in Cabo San Lucas at Nobu Hotel, and that's going to happen October 5th through the 7th. We can't wait.
Oh, I need to put that on my calendar today. So October the 5th through the 7th in Cabo, that's what I'm talking about. Well, and thank you for explaining that, because, okay, I'm going to use myself, being very transparent. Again, I'm a late bloomer in this. So I started dipping my toes in it, if you will, doing some investments. And I will tell you, 5 months later, I'm shocked. Like, wow, what took me so long? And I think you just have to jump out there. What are some of the red flags that one should look for in searching for a financial advisor or an investment advisor representative?
I think the red flags would be if you get pressured into buying something or signing up for something. It should be a comfortable decision. It should be your decision at the end of the day. Another red flag would be that they don't thoroughly explain fees. So if you say, well, how do you get paid, or how much is this going to cost? And they sort of hem and haw or tap dance around it. That is definitely a red flag. The explanation part is key, because financial advisors are really there to also help educate you on financial matters. And so that time, although brief, that you spend with them, you should always walk away having learned something about money, about your money, about the market. So definitely those would be my top three red flags.
Okay. Now, what now do we need, for those of us who are investing or thinking about investing, do we need to have a knowledge of math or accounting? Because I think that scares a lot of people. I'm a visionary. I'm going to just be honest with you, Cassandra. I'm a visionary. I'm not trying to do numbers. So, and I think that's what intimidated me to some degree. Mm-hmm. So can you speak to that? Because in just some of the questions, I've put out surveys before to the audience asking what topics, and this is one of the topics, so this is perfect timing. And some of it has been, well, I don't know accounting. How do I know if what I'm doing is correct, or if my advisor is helping me out? Can you speak to that? Do we need to have an accounting background or anything, or do we just go with the flow?
The only thing you need to know is how to count your money. How to count your money, then you're good to go. You know, all of these different calculations and computations and things of that nature really do scare people off. But at the end of the day, if you can look and say, okay, this was my starting balance, and this is where I am now over this period of time, is the math mathing? Right. And if the math isn't mathing, either you need to make some changes, or you need to change your financial advisor. And so it's really easy, as you know, simple math, learning how to add up your dollars. And if they don't make sense, sis, it's time to move on to something else.
I love that. Thank you. I want to get to your book, because I love the title of your book. And all of y'all, I'm telling y'all, I want y'all to go get this. Don't shut off the podcast right now. After the podcast, I'm going to mention this book several times so you won't forget it. But we all need to go to Amazon and buy this book ASAP. I've already got my order in. And that is Fearless Finances, A Timeless Guide to Building Wealth. And again, y'all, it is now on Amazon. I'll give y'all that title again. I'm going to give it to you a few more times throughout this podcast. But Fearless Finances, A Timeless Guide to Building Wealth. And again, that's by Cassandra Cummings. So here's a few questions that I have. The first question pertaining to the book: what are some steps that we can take to conquer longstanding fears around money? Because I talked to your people, and Daniel said, this question I need to ask you because it's going to be a game changer for people.
Yeah, to get over fear of working with money and interacting with money is, I think you have to get a money mentor. You have to get in safe spaces where money is comfortable for people. That worked definitely for me. That's working for over 100,000 Black women investors inside of the Stocks and Stiletto Society. Because if you can see it, you can achieve it, right? And so I think that when you see other people moving differently with money, that only is, you know, that's only going to rub off on you. And so I think it's so important that you surround yourself around people who are doing the things that you want to do. And so if that relates to your money, why not? And so I just employ you to find people who are really operating financially on the level you want to be on.
I love that. So now, when you're looking for a money mentor, is it a certain income bracket? Does that matter? Does it matter if a person has $100 in the bank, $5 in the bank, or $10,000 or $100,000? How do we search for that money mentor? And what, you know, do I need to have the same amount of cash in my account as my money mentor?
No, not at all. It's someone that you aspire to be like financially. And so if you aspire to be like the person that has $100 in their bank account, then by all means, strike up a relationship with them. But if you see someone that's moving, it could be an auntie, it could be a coworker, yeah, it could be a soror, it could be a church member, it could be an uncle, someone who you admire, they have a real estate portfolio, they're talking about stocks and investments. They may be talking about investing in startup companies, but just listen to their conversation and that will tell you how they move their money and what they invest in and what they truly treasure. And if that's something that you can get with, then by all means, you know, continue to strike up conversations with them and ask them good questions like, so, you know, what was your latest investment and how much did you put into that, if you don't mind me asking? I'm looking, right, you know, I have $5,000. I'm looking to invest. What would you recommend? And typically that will bring down the walls of fear for both you and that person you pose the question to. I've done that many a times. You know, what are you investing in? Yeah, just like people ask, what are you reading, right? What are you investing in?
I like that. What are you investing in? That's going to be my conversation this week, Cassandra. I'm going to be running to people. What are you investing in? I like that. Right. I like that. I love that. The second question I'm around your book, and again, Daniel and I put these together, is investing in the stock market the best way to create wealth and a legacy for your family?
Absolutely, because you cannot save your way to prosperity. You're going to have to put your money to work for you, and the stock market is one of the best avenues for you to put your money to work for you. Just think of each of your dollars as employees. Do you want your employees sitting on the sideline? You want to put your employees to work, and each dollar is an employee that should be multiplying and bringing back more dollar bills to you. And so if you look at it that way, you will be highly, you know, upset if you just have money sitting around not working for you.
I love that line. You cannot save your way to prosperity. That's a game changer right there. That's powerful. Yeah. I like that. I hope you have that quotation. Put a t-shirt together. That's your merch, Cassandra. Let's get that done. Let's sell your t-shirts and your hats.
I receive it.
Look, that's a part of your prosperity. Come on. Let's do this. And one thing I love, just a side note as we're doing this, Cassandra, one thing I love about those who have subscribed to Politics and Polls and the followers, I've seen them go buy the books. I've seen them go support the people. I've seen them go and sign up for their masterclass and their coaching. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just that God's hand, the favors upon Politics and Pros or what, but the people go with, and they learn so much. So I'm so glad that you are here with me today and sharing your wealth of knowledge. And I believe everything that these people are going to come and support you. So another question for your book. Now, how can our investment portfolio make our life economic financial storm proof? You know, we've been through COVID, you know, we're coming out of it, hopefully. We have other things that are going on. We have inflation that's happening right now. You know, the joke is, can we afford to boil eggs for Easter egg hunt? Because there's $7 or something a carton, you know, so what? How can we make our investment portfolio our life economic financial storm proof? Or is that even possible?
Well, it is definitely possible. The way that you do that is that you consistency, right? It's just consistency. That's with anything that we do. And so you have to be consistent in making contributions to your accounts, whether that be retirement, short-term, long-term. You have to be consistent in getting educated on what to actually do during economic storms, because they're gonna come. That's just a part of the cycle. So you have to be able to weather these storms. And weathering these storms, meaning don't make, you know, quick reactions, because oftentimes we get fearful, we see our accounts dropping, and we want to pull the plug and take money out of the market. But that is the absolute worst time to do so. And then what we want to do is look for investments that do well during economic storms. There are recession-proof companies that do well and rise and continue to give you amazing returns even during recessionary periods. And so you need to seek out those companies as safe havens during recessionary periods. So I would say, just to wrap again, is to be consistent, continue to contribute, continue to educate, and look for those companies that are recession-proof.
I like that. For a moment there earlier this year, I thought of pausing or pulling back my contribution. And I said, why would I do that? And so I stayed the course. But for someone who may be looking at their mortgage or their rent or their car payment or their children's school or whatever, and they're thinking, let me pull back. Would you advise them to pull back completely or just a certain percentage until they get through that crisis?
You know, this is great. These are great times that we're living in, to be honest. There are so many different ways in which you can make money. I think we've been programmed to cut and subtract and do things of that nature, but there are so many additional ways in which you can bring in income. You have to think about, what can I do as a side hustle? An extra $500, an extra $2,000 a month can definitely help soften the blow during economic challenging times. And so I would just employ people to think about ways in which they can maybe make extra money, as opposed to necessarily reducing or, cutting back on their lifestyles, especially if these are necessities. It's necessary that we have shelter. It's necessary that our children have daycare, or, you know, maybe we can think about homeschooling. Then the money gets allocated differently if we're homeschooling, or there could be pods that we set up, right? That was a big thing at the height of the pandemic, was we had groups of parents coming together and creating pods for our children, almost like private school. Right. And so we have to be creative. We are a creative people. And so we have to continue to think outside of the box, even when it comes to our money.
I love that. And again, being that this is politics and prose, what are some of the politics between Black people and wealth building?
So some of the politics come from just generations and generations of the government really stopping our flow. You know, we've had a lot of legislation work against us. We've had a lot of historical events that really sort of tore us down. But I would say the politics behind, Black people building wealth is that we are a very resilient people. Yeah. And if we keep that at the forefront, there's nothing that can stop us when it comes to building wealth. We have people like myself and other people out here really singing the gospel when it comes to financial matters. And so you really, you know, get behind people who are going to propel you and move you forward financially.
Yeah, I love that. I struggle with this question, but I want to ask the question anyway, because that's what we do here.
Yeah,
I have actually heard people say that they will stop giving their tithe to church over canceling their investment. And my question to you is, how can one balance that? Because I don't know if you should stop tithing or stop giving, but I don't think you should stop your investment either. So what would you tell a person who's looking at, okay, I'm a faithful church attender, I believe in what the word says, and I tithe, but I think I'm gonna stop doing that and just focus on my investment. I know it's a tough question, Cassandra.
Yeah, I wouldn't say tough, but it's definitely a personal decision. And I will say this, that giving activates abundance. So keep that in mind, you know, whether you have to scale back on your tithing, God knows that, right? That you might be going through financial hardships. But if you can find it deep down in your heart or in your pocketbook to give, you have to sort of give, because it gives you a certain type of energy in return. When you're giving to the less fortunate, when you're giving to your church, when you're giving of others. And so just keep that in mind, that giving activates abundance. And as long as you're in a position to give, even if it's something that you feel like, oh, you know, this probably won't go very far, you have no idea the position that you're in. Just to be able to give is a blessing.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard, you know, and that you're right, it's a personal choice. And I'm just thinking, I don't know. And I don't know how to answer that. Even as an ordained pastor, I don't know how to answer that. Cause like, I cannot control how you are doing what you do. But of course I come back, let's pray about it, you know, be led that way. What are some things, you know, in your book, you talk about develop a firm foundation for you and your family. So when I think about family, I'm thinking about children. How can one begin teaching financial values and investment to even the elementary school kids, even if they're kindergarten, first, second, or third grade?
Yeah, I get this question a lot. You know, as a parent, I have, you know, I have a 26-year-old now. But the best way to teach young children is to show, not tell. And so if you sit down with them and you even start small, show them in sense, okay, this is what this toy costs. And it could be paper money, it could be, you know, real money. And then you can, you know, show them math wise how to add up the dollars, what it looks like if you're subtracting because you did not do your chores or you did not do what you were supposed to do. I'm going to take $2 from your $5. Mm-hmm. Or you did what you were supposed to do. You actually set this up and now I'm going to give you $10. And so I think the show is so much better than the tell. To be able to walk them through different scenarios, even when you're going to the grocery store with them. You know, I used to put words up around my house to teach my daughter how to read. You can do the same thing when it comes to money. This costs $100. This costs $12.99. This costs, you know, so that they can have some perspective on how much things are costing.
I love that. What are your thoughts? And then I'm going to come back to your book for a moment. What are your thoughts on, and I'm seeing this a lot, what are your thoughts of getting children onto your credit cards to help build their credit score at a young age, like 9, 10, 11, 12 years old? What are your thoughts on that? Is that a smart move or not so wise?
Yeah, I think that most credit cards allow you to do it if the child is 13 years or older. And so if you're able to do that and you have good credit, let me preface that by saying you have good credit, then I think that that is something that, you know, totally up to you if you want to add your children to your credit cards as an authorized user for them to build credit. But credit is built around a number of factors. That's just one factor there. It's the history, how long you've had the credit. It's the amount of credit available. It's a number of different things, that paying bills on time, different types of credit, the makeup of credit. So teaching your child about credit early, I would say around 15, 16 would be a good time. And that may be a better time to actually add them as an authorized user.
If they have good credit.
You have good credit.
I love that. Thank you for saying that. I want to touch back on your book just for a moment. Then I have another question for you. Then we'll be wrapping this up. And this is so good. I don't want to let you go. I have like another 20 questions, but I won't do that to you. We'll just have to have you back. Just all going to show up in Cabo in October. You said 5th through the 7th, right? Let me get my swimsuit ready. Okay, your book touches on conquer longstanding fears, which we asked a question earlier, develop a firm foundation for you and your family, invest in the stock market for wealth creation and legacy building. And your book also touches on prepare for a lifelong winning financial season. Also, I read that Fearless Finance walks you through the keys to building your success squad of trusted experts, as well as women who kicked fear out of the way to achieve their financial dreams. Now, so can you. And I absolutely love that. One thing I pride myself here on Politics and Prose is to give our listeners at least 3 to 5 things they can actually begin implementing today. Do you mind sharing with us at least 3, if not 4 or 5 things that people can get started today and then get them so excited they reach out to you and consult with you from here on out?
Sure. No problem. So I would say the first thing is to have a plan, right? Where do you want your money to go? Do you want to have $1 million? Do you want to pay off all your debt? Do you want to save your children's education? Do you want to save for their first property? So really have a plan in mind when you are getting ready to go at it with your money. The second thing is to save. It does take money to make money. So you have to start to build up funds, and that could come in the way of multiple income streams. It could come through savings, bonuses from work, lump sums or windfalls that you may encounter. Just really have a plan for that money that you're saving. And then the third thing would be to invest. Get with money professionals, financial professionals, to really help you determine what's going to be the best avenues to put your money. There is an enormous amount of financial information out there, and you really need someone to help you navigate to really put together a plan that's more personal and customized for you. And then I would add the fourth component of this would be to add a layer of protection, and that could be through insurance, it could be through estate planning, it could be a number of different options available to you in order for you to protect what you're growing, because it can take one event to decimate all the work that you've done in terms of building wealth. And so you want to make sure you keep that in mind as you're growing your wealth as well.
Oh, this is good. Plan, save, invest, add a layer of protection. Again, that's plan, save, invest, and add a layer of protection. All right, y'all, it's time for y'all to get ready to go to Amazon. Again, y'all, want you to look up Fearless Finances, A Timeless Guide to Building Wealth. Again, Fearless Finances, A Timeless Guide to Building Wealth. And if you're missing it and you're driving or whatever, because we know that you listen to podcasts as you live, so you listen to live. But I will have all this information in the description as well. All right. So it's Politics and Prose. So I got to ask you the book side of it. What book are you currently reading and who's the author?
So a friend recommended this book to me, and I have to just, be transparent. I have not read it yet. I can't wait to dive in. But it's called Chill and Prosper by Denise Duffield Thomas. Chill and Prosper: The New Way to Grow Your Business, Make Millions, and Change the World. And she recommended this book to me because we were recently having this conversation about hustle culture, grind culture. And I think that there is a way for you to make money, make income, and make an impact without burning yourself out. And so we were just talking about how we were making some shifts in our lives. And so she said, hey, you check out this book, Chill and Prosper by Denise Duffield Thomas. And so I actually can't wait to crack
it
open.
It sounds
this book.
Good. Mm-hmm. It sounds really good. Well, all of you, I know y'all want to follow her, and I want y'all to do that too immediately. But first things first, go get that book, Fearless Finance. A Finance is a Timeless Guide to Building Wealth, now on Amazon by Cassandra Cummings. All right, y'all can follow her on Facebook at Stocks and Stilettos. I love that name.
Thank you.
You can follow her on Instagram at Stocks and Stilettos, and you can follow her on Twitter, Stock N, the letter N, Stiletto, no S. We'll have all that in the description as well. You also cover, and I love this in your press package, the 5 C's: community, courses, circle, capital, and conferences. And that all centers around you. And I just think that's awesome. I'm so glad to know that you're out here doing what you do. I hope many people come to you. So if somebody's ready to say, you know what? I listened to this podcast. I want to connect with Cassandra. How can people connect with you?
So the best way to connect with me is on Facebook. I would you know, just go to Stock and Stilettos. We're there. We have almost 100,000 Black women investors in our group. And then combined across all social media platforms, we have a reach of about 250,000. So we are definitely out here teaching women not only about finances, but how to invest as well.
I love that. I love that. Now, are you taking clients, in case anybody's asking, or is the best thing to do is to come through Facebook?
So the best thing to do is to come through Facebook. Unfortunately, I no longer do one-on-one client consultations, but we have a number of different programs. We have our Stock Success Circle, which is for beginning investors, people who have never bought stock or just sort of dipping their toe in the water. And then we have the Queens of Capital, which is our mastermind group. And it's a 12-month program where we really help women to increase their net worth to 5 million. And then we have ladies who are learning how to trade options through our program called Build a Bag. And we have some amazing coaches over there that are helping women secure the bag. So that's how we help ladies level up their investment dollars.
I love that. Level up those investment dollars, lady. Let's go. Let's get it on. Well, Cassandra, thank you so, so much for joining us. It's just a pleasure. I know my crew over on News in Motion would love for you to come too, but as Daniel and I were talking, that's at 7:25 a.m. Eastern time. You'll be asleep on 3-hour time difference.
I may have to stay up all, you know how you catch those early morning flights? I may have to stay up all night to get on that one.
Yeah, because he was like, well, because I was like, let me have her on both. He says, now, Gail, she's 3 hours different from you. And I said, oh, my gosh, but she's so amazing. So I'm just so thankful that you were able to join me here on the podcast. You are awesome. Like I told everyone coming in here, straight powerhouse. And I'm not just saying that. People who know me will tell you I don't say stuff if I don't believe it at all. So thank you so, so much for joining us today. And I want everybody to go out and buy the book. Fearless Finances, A Timeless Guide to Building Wealth, is now on Amazon. Any last words before we sign off?
You know, I just want to leave people with, you are the best thing that will ever happen to your money. So take care of your money and the money will take care of you.
I love that. I love that. And y'all know what I say, everyone. Stay well and remember, make some bold moves. So go buy that book. I'll talk to y'all later.
New episodes air on Fridays. Make sure to follow Gail on Instagram, Twitter, and post.news at Gail Dudley. And subscribe to her YouTube, www.youtube.com/GailDudley. Tune in to be informed. And make sure to subscribe to Politics and Prose wherever you listen to podcasts so that you don't miss an episode.